Welcome to the Engage Podcast from Blackbaud, the podcast for people dedicated to purpose-driven work. From nonprofit fundraising and finance to grant-making, education, and corporate social responsibility, we're talking with sector experts and thought leaders about the best practices and latest trends that will help you grow your impact.
Welcome to the Engage Podcast from Blackbaud, where we bring together voices from across the social impact sector to share trends and what is working for organizations. I'm Christine Newman, and I lead brand advocacy and customer marketing at Blackbaud. And today we're talking about something that is so important for many nonprofits out there, volunteers. The value of a volunteer hour is estimated to be around $33.49. So losing just one committed volunteer represents lost value for your organization. And Blackbaud's research shows that corporate volunteerism continues to grow across companies large and small, and that millennials and Gen Z really care deeply about volunteering. So there's lots of opportunity there. So what does it actually take to keep volunteers showing up, feeling valued, and deepening their commitment over time? That's what we're digging into today. So I'm joined by David Lapp, CEO of Blessings of Hope, a faith-based food distribution organization in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, that mobilizes thousands of volunteers to turn food surplus into meals for families in need. And Martin O'Neill from Rosterfy, a Blackbaud partner bringing technology forward thinking to help nonprofits manage and engage their volunteer communities. So welcome to you both. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So we'll just start off with some, you know, kind of introductions. I'll have each of you just introduce yourselves a little bit for our audience here so they can get to know you a little bit more. And we'd love to hear just a little bit more deeply about your role. So let's start with you, David.
Yeah, I'm David Lapp, CEO of Blessings of Hope, also one of the co-founders. So we started in 2006 in a three-car garage in Ephrata, Pennsylvania, and currently operating in about 115,000 square foot of warehouse space. We are a distribution logistics organization connecting large-scale food donations with nonprofits. We have over 200 corporate partners that we receive food donations from, over 1,700 nonprofits partners that we supply with that food, and we do the distribution logistics connecting the two.
Amazing. That's, I mean, such important work. And Martin?
Yeah. Hi, my name is Martin O'Neill. I'm the head of marketing for Rosterfy. Rosterfy are a Blackbaud partner. We're a volunteer management software platform. David is one of our customers. Blessings of Hope. Blessings of Hope are a fantastic example of an organization investing in their volunteer experience in order to extend the reach of their target and better connect with their communities. I've been working with Rosterfy for about nearly four years now. And my role really is to help growth in the North America region. And I do that by connecting very, very closely with a lot of our customers, understanding what the modern day volunteer is after and trying to impart some of that onto our customer base and help them improve their programs.
Awesome. So David, on that note, let's talk a little bit about how you engage volunteers and why they are important to the work that Blessings of Hope is doing.
Yeah. So at Blessings of Hope, we see usually between 1,200 and 1,300 volunteers per week that are, you know, sorting food, packing boxes. As far as engagement, we have a manager that his role is just to make sure the volunteers have a good experience. We have a team that is dedicated to volunteer onboarding, volunteer experience, group scheduling. And then we have coming up here in, I think it's next week, we have our afternoon evening volunteer appreciation event, where it's just about meeting our volunteers, hearing them out, you know, what are their questions? How can we serve them better? How can we, I mean, we feed them? And it's just a time of getting to know the people that work with us. We'll probably see, I'm guessing, between 1,200 and 1,500 people come out for the volunteer appreciation event based on past, you know, past experiences. But yeah, we have a tremendous base of people that are actively engaged in volunteering at Blessings of Hope, whether that's sorting food, packing boxes, stocking shelves. We also have our what we call our Star Volunteer Program, where if a volunteer lets us know that they have a specific skill, we can plug them in as if they were an employee. We actually onboard them as if they were an employee, but they just don't get paid for that, you know, for their time. But it's a way that they can take their expertise, put it to work, and actually bring more value to the organization than if they're just doing general labor that anybody can do. And it's, you know, it's a It's a way to recognize people's gifts and actually put that gift to work.
That's amazing. So volunteers, you're not only using them for the, you know, kind of very important work of, you know, kind of helping to pack the food, right? Which, you know, obviously without those volunteers would be a much more difficult proposition for you, but also you're using them to fill some of the gaps in your organization as well, or enhance, you know, what your staff is able to do from that skills-based volunteering perspective as well. That's amazing. David, on that note, you know, you just shared that there's a lot that you're doing to recognize your volunteers, right? You have the recognition event coming up, right? And all these ways that you're recognizing them. Why is that important to you? Why do you do this? Why is it, you know, kind of more than just a nice thing to do? You know, kind of how do you really see that impacting how you're retaining your volunteers and that they're, you know, reliable and, you know, showing up for their shifts that they've signed up for, right? And that they're happy to volunteer and are really dedicated, you know, long-term to your cause.
Yeah, we see, you know, a happy volunteer is a dedicated volunteer, a volunteer that understands the impact that they're making, is somebody that's going to keep showing up for the job, is going to keep serving, is going to bring his friends out. They're going to, you know, yeah. And we have, you know, we have volunteers that, you know, if we need a last minute volunteer, you know, we can reach out and say, hey, could you fill a shift? And, you know, sometimes it can, sometimes it can. But what we've seen is the more we can engage our volunteers and invite them into the organization as a part of the organization, the more value they bring to the organization and the more they become a part of the organization, where it's not just about what we're doing as Blessing the Hope staff or as Blessing the Hope founders, it's what we're doing as a community. And it's about what, you know, if we can engage the community at that level, then we as a community can have an impact. Whereas if a volunteer just shows up and they're not even sure that they're making a difference or they're not sure their time is being utilized, you know, it's a lot harder to get them to come back. So we have a team of people that are dedicated to the volunteer experience, where when the volunteers walk in the door, their workstation is set up. They know what they're going to be working on, and they work their 2.5 hour shift. When they leave, our team then cleans up and they get ready for the next shift. And what we have found is the more we can be prepared when they walk in the door and actually help them provide maximum value while they're serving, the more apt they are to come back for another shift.
I love that. Yeah. The whole time that they're there, they feel like they're actively contributing and really kind of, yeah, seeing we did this. And I love how you talk about them. It's not just your team. It is them as part of the team and part of the culture. And also how you have folks who are dedicated to that volunteer experience, right? It's not just one person's side job. You know, it's, you're making a conscientious decision to really support the volunteer experience, which is awesome. Martin, I would love to hear from you. Obviously, you're working with Blessings of Hope, but then also a lot of other nonprofits that have volunteer programs. So kind of how does what David was just talking about reflect what you see across your customers?
Yeah, I mean, David hit every single right note there. And that's why I'm pleased to have invited him on to do this with us, because everything that he said about, you know, having 1,200 volunteers per week, but the team around, built around that to invest in their experience, and the STAR program making them feel like an employee. Every little detail there is about making somebody feel valued. Now, people want to volunteer, and there's 100 different places in 100 different towns that they can go and do that, but so many choose to do it with David and his team because of those little interactions that they get, the little bits of appreciation. It's very easy to think that that stuff very easily comes together, and all you have to do is make it easy for people to join. Let's put a form online. Let's make sure somebody sends an email to them, make sure somebody greets them with a badge when they show up and tells them where to work. That's like 10% of the job. What David just said there, even though he said it very quickly and skimmed across it, that takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort. And any program that we've worked with that we've seen be successful in not only recruiting but retaining people have made people feel like they are an employee, that they're part of that journey and they're part of that mission too. I've seen it in many, many other organizations, but David's team there, I'll probably jumping ahead a little bit, but I think I really want to give you an example of something I've seen from the team recently that I absolutely loved. And David doesn't know that I'm going to mention this, but an email went out very recently about Carla, a volunteer that they've had for a long time. And she wanted to volunteer, but she found her niche. And her niche was she just had a passion for like cleaning and making a nice environment for the organization. So Carla isn't, and I don't want to use the word dismissively, but just packing and distributing. She is there to make everybody feel comfortable, that everybody feel valued. And like that is a perfect example of, I would not have known anything about Carla had I not been on Blessings of Hope volunteer program. I'm part of the volunteer base. I'm volunteering with them next Tuesday. I'm going to meet David for the volunteer appreciation day. But I got the communication that told me about Carla and that lovely person that turns up and cleans and makes sure the environment is perfect for volunteers. That's, to me, that's the difference between having a volunteer program and having a really successful volunteer program, are those little details that David and his team does.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm curious, David, in this example of Carla, like how did that come to be that, you know, kind of she surfaced like, you know, hey, I'd like to actually focus on cleaning. That's what would be really meaningful for me and make me feel like I'm, you know, really making a contribution in the way that I want to be making one here.
Yeah, we invite our volunteers to let us know if they have a certain skill or a certain thing that they want to volunteer in. And then you know, we have a process around, okay, if somebody fills out that part of the application, then, okay, we actually do an interview with them and we get to know what they're passionate about, how we can plug them into that. Another interesting thing was last fall, I think we had 14 volunteers that were helping with dinner development. And they let us know, hey, I want to help with fundraising. And we're like, well, great. You know, and then our team was able to plug them in and reach out to other volunteers and say, hey, we are volunteers raising funds for Blessings of Hope. And it's been great.
I love that. And I think I love how you're spotlighting, because obviously, you know, Carla feels great that you're spotlighting her, right? And the other volunteers like seeing, you know, volunteers spotlighted. And I imagine that also provides some inspiration for some of them too, to think about like, oh, what are some other things that I can be doing to help the organization?
Can I add something? It's one thing offering the opportunity to do different things. It's something else when you're able to specifically segment your audience and tag volunteers with this person has this particular skill. I think that's a challenge that a lot of volunteer programs are facing, where they have like a CRM, and they bring all their volunteers into one place and they know that they've got the marketing permissions to send out emails to them or put them on shifts. But very few of them actually segment their data really, really well. And forward-thinking organizations that maybe have got a bit of like a marketing head on them, or they've employed people in that have had that sort of background, understand the value of being able to ring fence certain groups of your volunteers by their own preferences. To say, I can drive a truck. I'm available Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I'm interested in not just volunteering, but perhaps first aid. I'm a first aider and I can do X, Y, and Z too. That brings up, that creates a profile that allows you to have much richer relationship with that volunteer and appreciate them well beyond them being a body that turns up on a Thursday at 5 p.m.
Yeah, absolutely. And on that note, I guess, you know, kind of along those lines, you know, David, obviously you're doing this great job of knowing your volunteers, understanding your volunteers. How do you approach them from, you know, different segments, like newer volunteers versus long-term, you know, volunteers? Are there ways that you are approaching, you know, making them feel appreciated, you know, and the things that you're doing there, or the individuals who are just coming on their own because they feel called to your cause versus some of the, you know, groups or, you know, maybe companies who are coming and volunteering as a group? Kind of how are you approaching that, you know, appreciation and engagement from those different lenses in addition to what you're already doing with, you know, kind of getting to know your volunteers? Mm-hmm.
So one thing that the team just implemented or is in the process of implementing right now is a certificate when they reach 500 hours, when they reach 1,000 hours, different milestones. And a lot of this has been a work in progress. You know, we're still building some of these processes out or some of these recognitions out. But it's been great to see the team just pull into, you know, getting creative around how we can recognize volunteers. We just got a mascot, so we have a Mr. Broccoli now that shows up for the children's shifts. And we had a 7-year-old birthday celebration last week, I think it was, where she brought out her friends as a volunteer experience for her birthday party, and requested that Mr. Broccoli shows up. So just creating those moments. Another thing that's pretty unique for our volunteer program is we allow down to 6 years old to actually volunteer with us. And there's not a lot of places that allow children to volunteer. There are certain things that they can't do, of course, but we create intentional shifts for children because we see, people that are now are either employees or donors or people that are very engaged started volunteering as a 10-year-old. And we see that playing out, 20 years later, where early on we allowed them to be volunteers. They are now engaged. And, if they get engaged at a young age, they will stay engaged throughout their life is what we're finding.
I love that. Creating that culture of philanthropy early on, making your organization a part of their kind of almost identity, right? As they're growing up, it's something that they're passionate about. And, as the mom of, personally, as the mom of a young child, not quite yet six, but I think that's probably also got to help you attract those young families as well, where they can come together, right? And they don't have to worry about, only one of us can come because someone else has to, stay at home. They're really making it a family affair.
Just on that note, just from a safeguarding issue there, Rostify helps David set up accounts for the children where it can be managed through their parent, and there's degrees of separation there. Do you know what I mean? There's like they have an online presence for like David and is, so they know that an individual is going to be there, but everything is managed through the parent account securely. So
yeah, no, that makes sense. And and obviously it's not something necessarily that every nonprofit can accommodate those children, but I think thinking about it in a way that, is there something that they might be able to do if that's appropriate? I love that. So Martin, I'd love to hear from you, we've heard a lot of what all the great things that Blessings of Hope is doing, lots of best practices there, but would love to hear from you kind of when we're thinking about keeping volunteers engaged year round, what are kind of a couple of tips that you have coming from your expertise?
There's a lot happening in the volunteer sector in North America right now, and it is really exciting. Just as one little aside, I decided to go on Google Trends recently, and I just typed in volunteer opportunities. And I discovered that for North America, or US specifically, it's reached an all-time high since Google started recording that information. I mean, that's pretty exciting. Yeah. And there's also been 5-year highs for volunteering opportunities, for corporate volunteering opportunities, and a term called micro volunteering as well. And I think this micro volunteering is definitely going to be something that volunteer programs are going to need to consider, in that I know that this is more of a recruitment thing, but it could be seen as retention too, is being able to create the infrastructure and the processes within an organization that are so streamlined that you are able to provide short snippets of volunteering, a few hours here and there, people dropping in and out if need be. I know that that doesn't necessarily align with most organizations. Will say we want volunteers and we want them to keep coming back and we want them regular. That's brilliant. That builds your community. But you are going to be swimming a little bit against the stream if that's the only avenue that you take. And being able to offer both sides of that, being able to grow a community, but at the same time, offer people the opportunity to duck in and out as and when they need to. I would definitely be thinking about that if I was a nonprofit right now, is how do I streamline the onboarding process and make things as easy as possible to allow those instances? Because if somebody does that and they have a really good time, they're probably going to tell their friends, and that will then cascade into something spectacular for your organization. Gamification is something that I'm seeing an awful lot of. David mentioned it there about certificates, but a lot of organizations are also using sort of digital badges. We've got a couple of customers, End Overdose, who are just a remarkable charity that does a lot of awareness of opium addiction and loss of life through that. They go to a lot of festivals and they have hundreds and hundreds of volunteers. And each time that they do a festival or reach a certain number of hours, they get a digital badge. And what I really like about that is that we've been able to mirror the branding of their organization with what the experience is on the roster, their version of the Rostify platform too. So there's lots of little like nuances to their, like their logo and all that. I guess David just talked about the broccoli and all that. Well, there's instances of that perpetuate across the platform. That's becoming a real growing thing, like across lots of different platforms and lots of different programs as well, is that the gamification of volunteering. And I think there's also something which is like the impact receipt. So David's team actually does this. Katie and in his team mentioned this to me once before, where before somebody starts volunteering, they actually tell them where the food is going to go. So today you're working on a project and all of that food is going to go to this location. And you can do that retrospectively as well. Thank you very much for your effort. This amount of pounds or kilos of food have gone to this location. Without you, none of this would have been possible. And is that impact receipt that gives that, if timed well, like maybe a couple of days after volunteering, when the dopamine is slightly worn off from having such a lovely experience with David and his team, that another little bump that you can give to make them feel like, actually, do you know what? I am free next week as well. I'm going to put myself onto that. So there's some of the things that I'm noticing that people are really leaning into this year, and they're not that challenging to get right. I think maybe the gamification can be if you don't have the systems in place, but the social proof, the micro volunteering, the impact emails that you could send afterwards, these are all very achievable for organizations, regardless of what systems that you're using.
Yeah, I think those are great, great tips that really, I think anybody listening that, wants to strengthen their volunteer programs can take. I think, on that micro volunteering, exactly right. Or the Blackbaud data as well mirrors that for corporate volunteering, right? That continues to increase across, small and large companies, particularly as those younger employees are really kind of, that's an important part of their employee experience, is what we're finding they're saying. So finding those opportunities for them and making it, to your point, making it easy so that you're top of mind the next time they want to do a group volunteer opportunity, they're going to come back to you because you've made it so easy for them. And maybe you pick up some volunteers along the way, right? Because they had someone had such a good experience that maybe then they come back on their own, right? Not just with the company.
That's what I was about to say. The retention for corporate volunteering is super exciting because it's not necessarily the retention of the corporate partner. It's the volunteers long afterwards as right. well. And I think that one thing that organizations don't necessarily do great is do an impact receipt specifically for the corporate volunteering group. And they're quite good at saying, this year you helped contribute towards this big number. I think without having the system in place to be able to ring fence that particular group and produce reports just for those volunteers and those shifts specifically for that corporate partner, you're then able to go actually beyond that, KPMG or whatever organization, you volunteered with us and your team did this many thousands of hours this year and able to contribute this. That's really good from like a CSR point of view. So if you think of the other side of that coin is that you're dealing with people that want to know that information, who can then pass that upward to their stakeholders and their investors and all that. If you're not completing that feedback loop, you're not going to retain that corporate partner because that's what they're looking for from you for. Does that make sense?
Absolutely makes sense. Well, before I let you both go, I would love to hear from each of you one tip or one action that someone listening to this who doesn't have as maybe as strong of a volunteer program or as systematized as a volunteer program as Blessings of Hope has, what's one thing that they can do, this week to really help, get started or strengthen how they're recognizing, using volunteers, engaging volunteers. So David, let's start with you.
Yeah, I would say, beyond what we've shared already, you know, just the listening to your volunteers, the, you know, getting to know their interests, I would say one thing that we've done as well over the years is encourage people to volunteer, even if it's at another organization, because, you know, there's people that don't have an interest in food insecurity, but I try to tell people, you know, you don't have to get involved in what we're doing at Blessings of Hope, but I do encourage you to get involved somewhere, because it's that serving that really starts making a difference in the community. And, you know, maybe helping volunteers find another organization that better suits their interests will then also create that thing where they don't feel like we're just out to get what we can get from them. We're actually here to help them serve the community. We're not just here to get them to be a volunteer at Blessings of Hope. And, you know, being able to just let people know that, you know, if Blessings of Hope is not the right organization for you to serve in, get involved somewhere, because, you know, as a bigger community, we can do more together.
I love that. I think it just underscores the entire conversation today, David, of how you've been coming across and just kind of how deeply embedded in the community your organization is, that you just want people getting involved and being part of the solution, whether that's with you or with, you know, another organization in the community. I love that. Martin, what's one kind of action item that you would give a listener?
I think we should have finished on David's there. That's such a good round out of the conversation. But I would say, just putting my marketing hat back on, stories sell. That's marketing 101, is you sell stories. And I think that if you use the Carla analogy that we were talking about earlier, of finding a volunteer within your volunteer base that does something slightly different for you and celebrating those people, it just highlights the humanity within your program and makes people realize that you're not just a number and you're not just trying to, like David just said there, you're not just trying to get what we can get from you, that we care about the community and we want to grow that, and we want you to feel that you're seen. I see you, Carla, doing what you're doing. It's different. And I think that that's really important. And I'd be surprised if not every program has a Carla somewhere in their group.
I love that. Well, thank you both so much. It's really been such a wonderful conversation. You know, David, the work that is happening at Blessings of Hope that you're leading there is such a wonderful example of what's possible when an organization is treating its volunteers as part of its mission, not just, you know, kind of the method of achieving that mission, but really kind of pulling them in as part of the organization. And Martin, for bringing in your expertise from looking across organizations and bringing in some of that systems lens as well. So, you know, really, really appreciate what each of you had to say today. I think that listeners are going to walk away feeling really inspired and coming away with so many ideas of things that they can be doing in their organizations to really strengthen those volunteer relationships. So I appreciate that. And for our listeners, we will include some resources in the podcast description as well, so that you can take this conversation and even build upon that even more. So thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.